Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Are you a diehard Saints football fan that likes to have fun? Then join the most fun Saints fan community, Saints Happy Hour. We'll ship you our booze bundle welcome kit today with 4 original Saints swag items not available in stores. You'll also get access to our live chat room where you can make new friends and talk Saints all day. Plus, get our daily podcast and be in the know on all Saints news as it happens. Go to saintshappyhour.com. That's saintshappyhour.com.
Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
All right, everybody, welcome to... Drunk Saints History. We haven't done one of these in a while, and I just had to fire up the British lady because I got a text from my boy, Scott Prather, 1420 ESPN Lafayette. Check him out. He does a great show. Back when I get back to my commute in Houston, I will be back to listening to it much, much more. All my podcast and sports talk listening is way down because I don't have to do the commute, Scott. But we were talking, and this episode of Drunk History, Scott, we decided instead of just reviewing a previous Saints season and going back through the history, we're going to do an alternate Saints history, sort of a what if this had happened. Because I thought of this, Scott, because Nick Underhill had done what if the Saints had drafted Pat Mahomes and Kansas City didn't jump them, right? And what would happen if the Saints got Pat Mahomes? So I thought that was interesting. But for this exercise, we're going all the way back, Scott.
We're getting really drunk.
I'm drinking Shiner. I'm drinking sea salt and lime as we speak. It's delicious. We're going way back to 1998, and we're going to do a hypothetical. What if Mike Ditka had been right about Danny Werfel? Because in 1998, Ditka bet Chris Mortensen $100, and he said Danny Werfel will go in the top 100 picks, and the Saints picked him at 99 in 1998. And, of course, Danny Werfel ended up being kind of a punchline. He wasn't very good and this and that. But the Saints, they did start 3-0 in 98, and what if he had been – and I'm not saying what if he had been Tom Brady, because that's kind of ridiculous. But what if he had been – Scott, what if he had been, like, serviceable? What if he had been, like, Jake Delhomme quality good? Like – what kind of path does the Saints history go on and all kinds of things? Because I really believe this about Werfel, and you can shoot this down and tell me if I'm crazy. I don't think his arm strength was his biggest downfall in the NFL. I think his biggest downfall was his release was too slow and he got sacked a billion times. Like if his release had been quicker, his arm strength, it would have limited him on, like, how good he could have been. But if his release would have been quicker, he could have been, like, the 12th best quarterback in the NFL.
Everything was slow about his passes. Like,
yes.
It's ironic because you think about how great he was at Florida and the run and gun. But the thing is, like, shotgun, 2 seconds, throw it. Like, Spurrier was so ahead of his time that it's like Werfel didn't need time. You know, Ditka's offense was archaic. Yeah. And the NFL back then, you needed time. And,
yeah.
And Werfel, you didn't have much of it. And, you know, yeah, I mean, like David Carr, no one got the shit beat out of him quite as much as David Carr did with the Texans. But, like, Werfel, he didn't play a ton. But when he played, he got the shit beat out of him.
I mean, it's famous. The helmet getting turned around. But, like, I mean, just look at these games in 98. The sack numbers for Werfel, we'll get to it in a second. It's ungodly. But that's the thing, right? If, you know, because in 98, the Saints started 3-0. Billy Joe Hobert got injured. But Billy Joe Hobert was like, we had seen him before he got injured. He was him and Billy Joe Tolliver, they were basically interchangeable. Like, they were never going to be good. They could barely complete 50% of their passes. So I don't think saying Billy Joe Hobert, if he'd have stayed healthy like the Saints, I don't know that they'd have been that much better than 6-10, 7-9 anyway. But the Werfel thing, like, to me, Scott, if Ditka had been right about Werfel, then you've got your quarterback. Their defense was pretty good. Granted, Ditka was they were archaic in free agency. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. They didn't know how to deal with the modern NFL, and their drafts were spotty at best, right? But if he had hit on the quarterback, and then he goes and gets Rakeem Woods, like, I think it just, this is a fun exercise because it takes us in so many different paths.
So if Werfel's good, who knows? Let's just start with someone else that started seven games for the Saints that year. Kerry Collins.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Collins, Kerry Thomas Collins, he basically just gets kicked off of Carolina or says he doesn't have love for the game, then changes his mind. Now where do you play? Mike Ditka just, you know, couldn't get quarterback right ever. But, like, he probably never ends up in New Orleans. And if he doesn't have that short stay in New Orleans, does he end up getting that chance in New York where 2 years later he's got him in a Super Bowl, albeit they're losing? But still, like, who knows where his career goes. But if Werfel's good, you know, something bad really would have happened, I think. Because at that point, Ralph, never won a playoff game before, you know, outside of some more years with the Dome Patrol, you know, for the most part, a perennial loser, a lot of heartache. I mean, if he had gone 9-7 or even 8-8, but like won a playoff game,
oh,
dude, Werfel would have. I mean, the Werfel jerseys would be sold out. You know, Buddy D would have been praising him as the next great quarterback, and you know, Benson probably would have freaking gave Mike Ditka an extension, which would have been the worst.
He gave him an extension. He gave him an extension after the second year. He gave him extension after 98.
I'll put it this way. You're right. He gave, but I feel like he would have given him one where he.
Oh, well, no.
No way he could have gotten out of it.
Here's the that's the thing. Like, I think if Ditka wins a playoff game, he's coaching into the 2000s, right? Yeah. Because that would have given him just a great extension of goodwill, right? But I just want to look at 98. You know, the Saints, they went to St. Louis. They got up 24-0. They coached the pants off of Dick Vermeil. Like, they ran a trick play with Lamar Smith for a halfback pass. Joe Johnson had a sack, picked it up, ran in a fumble. They were up 24-0. Like, they were rolling. Billy Joe Hobert, you know, blows his Achilles. No, but let's say that happens in that game. They play Carolina the next week. Werfel starts. They win 19-14. They scored on a weird kick. They kicked to Carolina. The dude fumbled. And, it was tied, you know, but that game, like, Werfel, you know, looking at his stats, 13 of 18, 145 yards, one touchdown, but he got sacked six times, Scott.
Six.
Let's, for this exercise, say that Werfel went 13 of 18 for 145 yards, but he was only sacked once because he's everything about him is faster, right? Like, he's NFL average release. You know, and that sort of thing. Like, if he's like.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Like Tom Brady-ish 2001 level decent. And I'm not comparing him to Brady long term. I'm just saying if he's that kind of quarterback that like played a little defense, little run game, Werfel will do some stuff for you. He'll go 18 of 27 for a buck 80 and a touchdown and not screw it up. Like, does that Saints team in 98, you know, they started 3-0, right? Do they... You know, that game where they lost to New England 30-27, do they win? Do they get to 4-0? Like, because Arizona that year went 9-7 and won a playoff game.
If Andre Hastings would have just, you know, cut back inside on that late punt return from his own end zone, they actually might have gone 4-0. I think, you know, losing to San Francisco 31-0 was the sobering reality check. But if Werfel... Here's the thing, too. Like, the Saints had some pretty good offensive linemen. They weren't 2,000 good, but they – I mean, look, Willie Rofe was on there. Kyle Turley was a rookie. You had some decent guys on the O-line. Lamar Smith was – he was okay. He was a serviceable back.
He was a 1,000-yard running back on a playoff team for Miami a couple years later.
Yeah, 2 years later, he rushes for over 200 yards in a playoff game, and basically, you know, Dave Weinstead just rides him to a victory, but like my point is, and the defense was talented. You know, the biggest issue was number one Ditka and number two quarterback play. And if Ditka had just had a quarterback that could have won, had a quicker release, and done things in spite of Ditka's incompetence, you know, let's not act like we wouldn't have been excited. I mean, that the 98 season, Ralph. That the Saints were still after their win against Dallas, which was a blast. I mean, they won 22-3. They just totally shut out Emmitt Smith and the Cowboys. Like, they're 6-7, and I naive me, just, you know, the fan in me as a teenager in high school, I was like, here we go. Like, we're gonna look. Can we beat Atlanta? Sure, we can. We can win at Arizona, and then all you got to do is somehow get by the Bills at home. We could be a playoff team this year. What if the Saints were actually in the playoffs? I mean, if you had a competent quarterback like Danny Werfel, the entire trajectory of the franchise changes. You probably don't get Jim Haslett.
And here's the thing: like that team, as much as we knock them, like you said, they were 6-7. They hosted Atlanta, who at the time was 11-2, and you would say, well, that game was a blowout because the Saints had Kerry Collins or you know, Billy Joe Tolliver at that point, because Kerry Collins actually got hurt in that game. You know, that game against an Atlanta team that went 14-2 and went to the Super Bowl, that game was 20-17 in the fourth quarter. So, imagine if you just had, you know, decent – like,
what's bad about it? Yeah, what's sad about – like, to your point, Ralph, and I'm sorry to cut you off. They scored two touchdowns in that game on defense. You know, it was Fred Weary and Mark Fields. Like,
I know.
Any kind of competent play a quarterback and you win that game. And you know, you don't have to hear the annoying Falcons fans. I remember them leaving the dome yelling 12-2. They're all doing the dirty bird. It's really annoying. Like, it was that season in a lot of ways was just like nails on a chalkboard because you just want a quarterback play. And if Werfel could have been the guy, you know, piggybacking on being a Heisman winner and being, you know, a nice dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, Danny Werfel was a good guy. At least, you know, that was his image. I think based on all the different quarterbacks the Saints had, he would have been embraced as much as any player in the history of the franchise had he been able to win a little bit. And early in the season, that crazy-ass win against the Colts, the third game of the season in overtime, where he just, like, you know, threw up a fourth and long, and they just got lucky and won the game. I mean, it wasn't anything great he did, but like the next Sunday, he's on NFL Countdown doing, you know, one-on-ones with Chris Berman, and Boomer sitting there like, yeah, this guy, you know, how does it feel to be a starter again and all this other stuff. And then the Saints went out, you know, and they didn't do much of
it. Here's a fun person that I have no memory of whatsoever, which is, and people who know, listen to this podcast, know my Saints memory is better than my real life memory. Sean Dawkins. I don't even remember him at all. He caught 53 passes for 850 yards in 1998. We'll get back to the show in just a second. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. You need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
Oh yeah, he did. You don't remember? I think he came from.
He came from the Colts. I'm starting to vaguely remember him.
I think he came from Indianapolis and ended up being like, you know, the top target that year for the Saints. Like Darrell Hobbs was supposed to be the guy.
Nope.
But ended up getting traded.
Hastings was like okay. Never.
Yeah, I think he didn't play all that much. I think they sent him to Seattle. So, like, it was Dawkins and Hastings and Cam Cleland, like, was this rookie that was doing stuff. And
Cam Cleland was
that
good.
Was a weird team. I mean, Keith Poole was that his rookie year or his second year?
Yeah, Keith Poole, all he did was catch bombs.
Right, man. That's right. He could take a licking, dude, but that dude would get up.
24 catches for 500. He averaged 21 yards a catch. Keith Poole, but here's the thing, like, what if Danny Werfel was just pretty good, right? And the thing is, I'm not even gonna lie to you, if the Saints had gone 9-7, we'd have built a statue for Ditka. If he'd have gone 9-7, if you just flip the Saints with Arizona with Jake Plummer went 9-7 in 98. They went to Dallas and beat the last vestiges of the Cowboy dynasty with Troy Aikman and them. If you flip that around, and if that's the Saints with Werfel, we are building a statue of Ditka, and Werfel probably has his number up in the rafters. Now, what that does, like a butterfly effect, and changes everything going forward to the Saints, we can get into that now. But it just would have been interesting. Like the thing is with Ditka, Scott, is Zaven Aurelian was a really fun defensive coordinator. Like, they ran the 46 defense. They did weird. Like, Zaven Aurelian ran the 46 defense that Ditka wanted, but he did weird stuff off of it, too, with coverages and even more exotic blitzes. And it was fun. So, like, we think of Ditka as, like, this Stone Age coach. And he kind of was on offense, and he was terrible at drafting and free agency. But the X's and O's on, like, game day for the Saints, it wasn't awful. Like, it wasn't like they were overmatched on game day, strategy and coaching wise.
If the Saints defense was as incompetent as its offense in the Ditka era, they would have had an 0-16 season. Undoubtedly.
Well, Paul Zimmerman in 1998 picked them to be the worst team at 1-15, and he was like, they're a disaster. Their defense in 97 will regress, and their offense is – I forgot what he put. He was like, they're going to be the worst team. And everybody was like, oh, my God. Paul Zimmerman, who really – you know, people don't realize it now, where you have 9,000 different people on Twitter with blogs and making predictions. But, like, when Sports Illustrated, when that preview came out, that was an event in our lives, right? It was like, I got the Sports Illustrated NFL preview. I'm going to read this thing cover to cover. And when they tell you your favorite team is going to be the worst team in the league, like, it hit you hard. Like, today, you just think of these NFL and, oh, so-and-so made a prediction. Fuck them. I don't care. Right? But Sports Illustrated saying the Saints are going to go on 1-15, like, it sent a shiver down your spine.
He would – yeah, he looked like a – you know, I think he's passed away, but he looked
is.
Like a comic book character. You know, didn't he? Had like – he looked like Mr. Clean, but, like, with the handlebar mustache. And
yeah, kind of.
He would make his picks each week, and it was a, like you said, it was a big deal. You know, he covered the draft some, and he was a guy.
Yeah, he was a guy. He was on ESPN when they did the early draft. And I will say this to you: if you want to know about Saints history, and you hear about Archie Manning, and you're curious, and people talk about him, and you want to get a sense of what Archie had to deal with as a Saint, Google Archie Manning, Paul Zimmerman, too good for this place. And it's like a giant takeout article from Sports Illustrated in 1981. It's like 5,000 words. It's incredibly long. And it goes through Archie Manning's entire history with the Saints, and it'll really give you a deep understanding of what Archie was up against. Because Paul Zimmerman, he was wrong about the 98 Saints, but he was probably maybe one of the great football writers of all time. So just to sideways.
He was right about the Saints offense. But when you look at the defense, and you mentioned not remembering Sean Dawkins, I remember him, but like one guy that I've totally forgot about on defense was Chad Kota.
Yeah.
He only spent one season with the Saints. And I had forgotten that
Terry O'Neill did the Terry O'Neill did the poison. That was back when the NFL teams could do the poison pills. They did the poison pill from Carolina and got him, but he hit all the incentives, so then he was a free agent again. But continue.
Yeah, he was like second on the team in tackles that year. Like he was, you know, Mark Fields was, even though he wasn't a Pro Bowler that year, that was probably his best season as a pro. Sammy Knight was this undrafted rookie who you were like, okay, he's going to be really good. Joe Johnson was a beast. Your boy Wayne Martin was still on the team. You know, Leroy Glover, who they got, you know, off of waivers. We didn't know how good he was going to be yet because the defense wasn't suited for his skill set. But like,
he had 10 sacks though.
He had 10 sacks that year. Holy shit! Yeah,
he got rolling the second half of the year.
That dude. I mean, so there you go. I mean, you had really, really good defensive players. And
imagine if they had solid defense. Imagine if they had not fucked up and let Winford Tubbs leave. Imagine if they had kept him.
I mean, Tubbs and Fields, you know, we talk about the Saints' inability to draft a good linebacker for so many years. I mean, they had did it, but they let some of those guys go. You know, if you have a competent quarterback, if Werfel, like you said, isn't a superstar, but just adequate, you know, like above average, I think there is a love affair with the fan base, and you never have Hazlitt, which means who knows, you know, you'll probably never get Peyton. I mean, nothing leads to what you have now, which, you know, the last 15 years have been a hell of a lot of fun. The last 15 seasons, despite some heartache in there, I wouldn't trade that for the Dickey years ever. But the 98 season, man, if you were just pulling for the Saints as hard as you or I were, the thought of having a decent quarterback, like, were you like me, Ralph? Like, when they get Kerry Collins, I'm like, okay, maybe he can do it. I mean,
I was like,
you know, or Danny Werfel, hey, 3-0, maybe he can get better, maybe he can do it. You would talk yourself.
Oh, complete the 3-1. 3-0 was like, I remember the Colt game where, you know, that was Ditka's first. That was Peyton Manning's first year. And the Saints were up 13-0. Peyton brings them back, and it's 13-13. And you're like, the Saints? You know, they're losing. The Hurricane George is bearing down on New Orleans. They got people in the Superdome, ready for this hurricane to wipe us out. And Werfel, in overtime, hits Cam Cleveland for a 33-yard touchdown. The Saints are 3-0. Werfel's walking off the field. Ditka's hugging him. They interview Werfel. Werfel's like, this is for the people of New Orleans. This is, you know, this is to make you feel good. We're thinking of you. We're praying for you. Everybody back at the hurricane. And I was like, fuck yeah, it's going to work. Like, Ditka's done it. Like, Werfel's going to be good. Like, I don't care that his release is slow, whatever. Like, it's going to work. They're 3-0.
They were 3-0. I think Mark Fields had 2 sacks in that game. Chad Kota had an interception. You know, Lamar Smith rushed for like a $150 or more than that. Like, everything was cooking. It was this exciting win that no one outside the Indianapolis and New Orleans market saw.
Yeah, but
I mean,
like,
I think it was like 48,000 people at the
but
the RCA.
But the thing is,
it was
something. Here's the thing, like, it. That's how, you know, you could knock it now and say whatever, but like at the time with the Saints being 3-0, you were like, this is what Mike Ditka wants. He wants to run the ball. Lamar Smith, 157 yards, check. He wants his defense to beat the hell out of a quarterback, check. And he wants to win the game, grind it out, have the quarterback not screw it up, and make a couple of plays, right? Check. So you were like, it's working. But of course, Werfel, 12 of 27. He got sacked 4 times, you know?
But I mean, like, so let me ask you, let me ask you this, Ralph. If Werfel ended up being adequate, you know, what happens in 99? Like, what happened? Because the 99 season was an absolute complete disaster. I mean, it was you had the Billy Joe Hobert, Billy Joe Tolliver, Danny Werfel. Jake Delhomme gets to start late in the season on Christmas Eve because the Saints, man, even when they suck, could beat the Cowboys. But like, it was an atrocious season. If they had a decent quarterback from the start, what's their record in 99?
I mean, here's a thing with – let's say, as we go down this, what if Mike Ditka was right about Werfel? They go 9-7, and they win a playoff game. I don't think they draft Ricky Williams because here's the thing. I think Lamar Smith, instead of – you know, he played in 14 games. He started 9. Instead of him – if the Saints would have gone 9-7 with Werfel, Lamar Smith would have had to have 1,000 yards, right? They would have had – like, Werfel – like, in this what-if exercise, we're saying that he's, like, the 14th best quarterback in the NFL, and he's barely good. He's, like, competent, right? He's like functional, you know? So I think Lamar Smith has to have at least – what do you say? Like, at least 1,000 yards. So then I don't think Ditka's all hot and bothered to get Ricky Williams because he's like, I just won a playoff game. I went to Dallas. If they go to Dallas and win a playoff game, Lamar Smith probably got to be awesome in that playoff game, right? So he's like, yeah, I got my running back. I went to Dallas, and he ran the ball for 28 times for $130.2. I don't need a running back. I need something else.
You're giving Mike Ditka way too much credit, dude. Like, he would have totally fucked it up.
Maybe. I am.
He probably wouldn't have traded the draft for Ricky Williams, although he might have. But, you know, he would have given away draft picks for low-hanging fruit. I mean, you know.
No, I'm not saying that Ditka wouldn't do something stupid. I'm saying he wouldn't do something stupid for Ricky Williams.
Yeah, I just feel like even if he had had if Werfel was, you know, a slightly above average quarterback, and the Saints go 9-7, and maybe they get their first playoff win, and they upset the Cowboys because they could always beat the Cowboys back then anyway, we would have been so euphoric and figured that Ditka was going to take them to the Super Bowl in 99. But we know deep down that he would have just screwed it all up. Not enough to be seen gambling, you know, in a loss late in the season when his contract forbades it publicly and he's cursing everyone out and what's it to you and all that other shit. But he would have done something to completely screw it up. And we probably would have just been stuck with him for a few more extra years than we needed to be. And we would have been deprived of the 2000 Saints, which, yes, you know, I spent a week on them a few months ago and talked to a lot of the players, and you and I have talked about it. And that's one of the most enjoyable seasons in the history of the franchise by far. And Ditka, it would always annoy me that the national media loved to give him credit for it. And it's like, you're giving him credit the wrong way. Like, he put together a good defense. They didn't, you know, Ricky Williams' contract was bad for Ricky. So they had all this salary cap space because he didn't sign any good players.
Yes.
But that was all just his fuck-ups. That's where he deserves the credit. But the national media just loved Ditka. They loved to kick his ass all the time.
And
that's all they did in 2000. They would just, oh, you should get credit for this. Fuck, he went 3-13 last year.
They didn't spend any money because they didn't know how to operate in free agency. They didn't understand that, like, when you bring a free agent in, they don't leave the building. The Saints would be like, oh, come and visit and then go see other places and give us the offer. No. you bring him in. And, like, they wanted Kevin Mawe. He wanted to be a Saint. And Ditka, like, well, meet me at 7 a.m. before my tea time. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, bring you wine and dine, Kevin Mawe. Like, the Saints didn't – they didn't understand free agency. So, like, not spending money was incompetence. It wasn't being smart, right? You know?
What was a good free agent signing, not undrafted, right? A good free agent signing in the Ditka era.
Wally Williams is it. He's a guard.
Yeah.
They overpaid for him, and he was okay. You know, Ashley Ambrose, they got him on a 1-year deal in 99. Yeah. He was superb. He went to Atlanta and was really good. But that's it. That's the only couple I can think of.
That's it. You could argue Chad Kota, but like, yeah. think of these. Like, Williams wasn't really impactful till.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
I think it was gone.
And Andre Royal gave us jokes.
You know, the other two, they were there for a year and then they're like, peace. I mean, like, so even if, like, in this alternate universe where Danny Werfel may have been good, we would have enjoyed it for a year. But ultimately, even if Werfel was slightly above average, as you put, and not like a superstar, it would have just, I feel like we just would have had a lot more pain long-term.
Oh, I think this podcast gets really dark, because I'm telling you, if Werfel had been average, I'm trying to think of a quarterback to compare him to, not Aaron Brooks.
Kyle
because not,
let's say Kyle Orton.
Oh my God, men, start taking notes. Because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology, so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And they spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. The water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too. Oh, one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. You need to try this out yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code armchair. Your balls will thank you. That's a good comparison. Kyle Orton, that's a perfect comparison. Old Bears quarterback. If he was as good as Kyle Orton, 98 would have been fun. But I'm telling you, Ditka would have been the Saints coach till like 2002, 2003, maybe a little bit longer. And I'm telling you, you don't have Sean Payton, you don't have Reggie Bush, and when the Saints come back post-Katrina, it doesn't last. And I'm telling you, there's a very good chance the Saints are not in New Orleans. Like, the high of 98 would have been great, but in like 2008, the Saints would have been moving to San Antonio, L.A., wherever. And the NFL would have been more agreeable to it, because they'd be like, well, they've been back for 3 years, and now they're awful, and they have 31,000 people in the dome, and the lease is up, and the deal is bad, and Benson wants to move the team to San Antonio or wherever. So I think this butterfly effect we do, I think it does turn – I think you're probably right. It does turn really dark, because Werfel's floor is like Kyle Orton.
I think that's like – worst case scenario timeline, but yeah. To dismiss it as you know, a viable butterfly effect, I think would be foolish, because it absolutely could have played out that way. Who knows who the next head coach would have been? Maybe Benson gets lucky and he knocks it out the park, right? You know, but Haslett and Mueller don't lead to Loomis, and then Loomis doesn't lead to Peyton, and all that other stuff. Like, one thing led to another, and we've had a nice run, and I know it's only been one Super Bowl, but, boy, it's been nice to have, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Kyle Orton is a great comparison, because if I plug in Kyle Orton 2008, if Danny Werfel gives the Saints 2,972 yards, 18 touchdowns, 12 picks, and he's 58.5% complete. They're 9-7, no doubt.
And that's essentially like Orton, you know, whether it was in Chicago or when he was in Denver for a little while. His best seasons, he had a really, really good defense. You know, an adequate running game. It's not like he ever had this, you know, super elite running game. And that's essentially what they did with Mike Ditka. Ditka would screw it up a lot and was impulsive and didn't understand free agency and was a dumbass. But if Orton's there, if Danny Werfel is Kyle Orton, and with his, again, with his personality and his, you know, he's a Heisman winner, so there was a little bit more of a national spotlight there. I think the national media would have followed Werfel a little bit more, right? Just because of the backstory and the fact that he, you know, was one of the most successful college quarterbacks ever to that point. You would have been looking at a lot of coverage, but I just think the 99 season would have been bad. 2000 would have been worse, and where it goes from there, we don't know.
I'm looking at the 99 draft, and I'm trying to see if the Saints wouldn't have gone Ricky Williams. I'm trying to pick the player that Ditka would love that would have been an abject disaster. I think Troy Edwards from Louisiana Tech would have been a possibility. I think David Boston, problem child, right, from Ohio State at wide receiver, would have been another player that Ditka would have wanted, right? That could have been a bad choice. Kevin Edwards.
There were some good ones in there, but he probably would have gone Matt Stinchcomb, John's brother. And Matt was a great college player, but I've got the guy.
I've got the guy. Because they would have been picking in the mid 20s because they'd have won a playoff game, right? Andy Katzenmoyer.
Oh my God, that's it. That's it.
Be born to be a Ditka player. He probably trades up to like 15, gives up the 2000 number one, and he's like, I got my Mike Singletary now. Andy Katzenmoyer. Like, that dude was born to be a Ditka Saints player.
And the fact that he suffered a neck injury in his first season with the Patriots under Ditka, he probably would have suffered it like in training camp.
Yeah, mini camp. First mini camp.
It would have been like off the field. It would have been some hazing shit, and he like never would have played it down. Like that's what would have happened.
He'd have been the dude. He'd have been the dude. Instead of Jeff Danish going through the plate glass window, it would have been Katzenmoyer.
Absolutely. That would have happened. So let's make sure we don't give Ditka credit for No. anything he doesn't deserve credit for. If we're going to do an alternate universe where he might have got one thing right, let's just be real and know that he eventually would have just screwed
it. It would have been 98 would have been magical, and then it would have just been in sadness and disappointment, and would have been like, I can't believe they only won one playoff game with Danny Werfel. They did not do his career right.
In 98, so the best moment was when we just kicked the shit out of the Cowboys. Oh, I mean, Dallas ran for 8 yards in that game, 8 total yards. It was incredible. It was unbelievable. I mean, I'll never forget it. There was a bomb in that game, Kerry Collins to Hastings. There was a safety. There was all this great stuff. And Dallas, while many of us didn't realize just how they really were at the tail end of their dynastic run, they were. But at the moment, they still had like that appeal.
Oh, completely.
Like, man, you're going to beat the shit out of the Cowboys. Like, really? This is great. So other than that moment, what moment from that season do you remember in the most positive light?
The Colt game, the pass to Cleveland, because it got them to 3-0. They had drafted Werfel. They had Cleveland. Like all the Ditka draft picks were working out. Lamar Smith had run for $157. Like, that was probably either what you said, the Dallas game later in the year, or the Colt game. Like, that's the peak of the Mike Ditka era with the Saints. Or my personal favorite, when he grabbed his junk in 99 against the Titans.
Oh shit. How many of these names do you remember? Remember Scott Schlutzker? Remember that tight end? Remember that name?
Yeah.
Remember, John Farquhar. I mean, they love that dude. Oh, he was a trucker last week, and now he's a Saint. It's like, that's not necessarily a good thing, guys.
You know, you knew.
We were just Wilmot Perry. Like, Buddy D, like, Wilmot Perry gets garbage time in the game against Dallas, fumbles late, and Buddy D got a good, like, hour long on the point after of just pointing out how that was a worry, and people were calling pissed off that he was, like, raining on the parade of the Saints win over Dallas. I mean, Wilmot Perry got a lot of play. Like, it was not necessarily on the field, but like from the fans and what we talked about.
I remember when the Saints in 99, they played Tennessee, and the Saints were 1-3, and Tennessee was 4-1. And the Saints played like a flawless first half. They were up 10-0. They're driving.
I know what you're about to say.
They're driving to go up 17-0 right before the half. But Ditka botches the clock so bad. Not only do the Saints not kick They don't score to go up 17-0. They don't even get to kick the field goal to go up 13-0. And they got booed mercilessly walking off the field. And they were winning 10-0. Ditka stops, grabs his balls, walking into the tunnel, and keeps on going. And I was just like, we're winning and we're not happy. The Ditka era is, it's fucking done. Like when you're up 10-0 over a 4-1 team and your home fans are booing you, throwing stuff at you as you walk in the tunnel at half, and you're winning, it's over with, Scott.
Well, I like that you know, Slutsker had a touchdown in that game from Billy Joe Tolliver. And like you said, Tennessee went to that was their Super Bowl year.
Yep.
Where they came up a yard short. I mean, you're playing a good team, and yet it was like, that was really when because they started out 1-0, didn't they? You know, you beat Carolina. Yeah. It ended up being pretty bad that year, but there's some decent hope going into that season. But once you got to that game against Tennessee and blew it the way you did. I think Lorenzo Neal had like a touchdown that game.
That is fucking stupid. Wake up.
I mean, thank you, Jim. Like it was that moment where, like, I think the Saints outgained the Saints somehow against a good defense in Tennessee. The Saints offense in that game had over 400 yards and held Tennessee to like under 300, but they turned it over four times.
Yeah.
You know, they found ways to lose. And 99 was like that. Like earlier, just what was it? 1 or 2 weeks earlier against San Francisco, when like they've got the Niners beat at Candlestick, which never happened. It's incomplete on fourth down. And the Saints safety, Chris Hewitt, I think was his name, just decides to lower his helmet and just spike it into Steve Young's face. Well, 15-yard automatic first. Saints losing overtime. And all the media did when stuff like that would happen was laugh it off, like, oh yeah, that's just Mike Ditka football. He likes to get physical. It's like they just lost the game. Like what drove me nuts, I think, is how much the national media would just make excuses over and over, and it's like we're terrible, and he's the biggest reason why.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like Ditka, he was a dinosaur, and like. They just weren't disciplined enough. They lost a lot of close games, and it just drove you nuts. And the thing is, we wanted Ditka to succeed. People were pumped about like Ditka still had mystique in 97. You look at him now, and he's old and broken and all that. But like, we wanted it to succeed. We were excited. Buddy D was excited because he literally would do a show with Mike Ditka at the Mississippi Casino, and he told Benson, he's like, hire Mike Ditka. And the thing is, Bill Kuharik, as bad as a GM that he was smart enough to realize, I can save my job by hiring Ditka. It will sell tickets, and I'll just continue to be a general manager that doesn't spend any of Benson's money, and I'll keep my job. And it worked for him for 3 years. And the thing that's crazy about Benson is he loved Kuharik. Like he said, he told this story to Buddy. He's like, firing Ditka and everybody, he's like, I didn't care. Like, he's like, I really felt bad firing Kuharik, because Kuharik, for all the losing he did, he made Benson a shit ton of money because he ran the books super tight by never spending any money. And of course, Benson loved that.
The 98 season, man, in a weird way, I'm glad it played out the way it did, because while we went down a fun alternate universe for a little bit, the dark timeline, as you put it, where the team may no longer be in New Orleans, that's one that, you know, I don't like to think about for too long.
No, and I definitely think the Saints, you can call it blessed by God, Providence, whatever, they were incredibly fortunate with everything that's gone on. In a way, you know, I think they were fortunate in, you know, what was it, 2000 and two? I think they were really fortunate in 2004 that they finished up, they won their last four, and they were pretty much almost guaranteed a playoff spot. But weird stuff happened because we thought 2004, we're like, the Saints are playing Carolina. The winner has got like an 85% chance of making the playoffs. And they went in there and they beat Carolina. And then weird stuff happened in the 3 o'clock game. and they didn't get to go to the playoffs.
Doug Bryan missed a field goal for the Jets. If he hits it,
like if he hits it, if he hits it, Scott, I'm convinced they go to Green Bay, and I think they win because that team at the end of 2000, Deuce was rolling, Michael Lewis, Bierman was rolling. I think they go and they win a playoff game, and if they win a playoff game in 2004. They wouldn't have fired Haslett in 2004. They'd have been like, well, you can't. It's Katrina. We went to the playoffs in 2004 and won a game. You can't fire Haslett over a Katrina season. That's unfair. Where, as the way it played out, you were like, Jim Haslett's been mediocre for, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. He's been mediocre for 5 years. Katrina isn't an excuse. We're cleaning. We're everybody's getting up out of here. We're hitting reset. I think that's as big a moment that the Saints have had. Maybe even bigger than not playing Jake Delhomme in 2002. As we go down the what if hole.
No. But it's a great point. The alternate universe. Because 0-2, if Jake plays, then they're in the playoffs, and who knows what happens. Because if he plays, they're probably still playing really well. I mean, but they lost the last three because Brooks, didn't have a shoulder to throw on. And if you get in 04, you win the last four games of that season, but you said it, Ralph. I mean, we look freaking great. I mean, that four-game stretch, especially the last game against Carolina, where you went to Charlotte and just put it on them physically the way they did, they were playing as well as they'd ever played under Haslett. And if they get in, and, because Minnesota, they beat the Saints that year. The Saints had beat St. Louis, so it's this three-way deal, and the Saints just end up being the odd team out. But, you're the sixth seed, and you're at Green Bay. Minnesota went there and won by two touchdowns. That's the Randy Moss Moon game and Joe Buck. That is a disgusting act. I think you're right. I think you get that win at Green Bay, then you lose at Philly the next week. But, the Katrina season and Haslett's job is viewed completely differently than a guy that hadn't been to the playoffs since his first season, because that was it. It's like, do you really want to bring him back, or do you just need an entire clean slate? If you're, winning your second playoff game in team history the year before Katrina happens, which has, a legit built-in excuse as to why things didn't go right, then he's still the coach in 06. Sean Payton ends up going somewhere else, and again, who knows what timeline we're on, but I doubt it has Drew Brees on it.
I know. So it all has kind of worked out that way. And I think, 2002, if they played Delhomme, I mean, Tampa ended up winning the Super Bowl that year, but the Saints beat them twice. And for whatever reason, as mediocre and bad as Rick Venturi was as a defensive coordinator, that dude had Gruden's number. He knew how to deal with all Gruden's motions and three wide receivers and shit. So I'm not saying the Saints win the Super Bowl in 2002 if they played Delhomme. I'm just saying the 2002 playoffs might have been chaos because you would have had the Saints and Tampa meeting up. We'll get back to the show in just a second. There is no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds and lines for their upcoming games and matches. You need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
100%. And then Atlanta doesn't get in as a wild card, because I don't know that the Saints are even necessarily the idea that the Saints had just won one more game, they would have got in. I think if Delhomme's a quarterback, they might win all three of those last games, because they were solid before that. They played three last place teams between Minnesota, Cincinnati, and Carolina. They played three bad football teams. Almost won some of those games. I mean, everyone remembers Culpepper dropping the snap on the two-point conversion, picking it up and rolling in. I was there. I was pissed. But, if they might win all three of those, and the whole playoffs are just shaken up. Tampa Bay, maybe they have that Super Bowl. Maybe they don't.
Well, I mean, look at this. The Saints have beat them twice. If the Saints,
South team.
If the Saints go 12-4, they get the bye. And the Saints, you know, the Saints are playing. The Saints are maybe playing the Falcons or the Giants or Sam, you know, that first play, you know. And then you're 2002. Then it becomes almost impossible to fire Haslett later too, because then you're like, he won the West in 2000. He won the South in 2002 and got a bye. Maybe he gets to the NFC Championship. Then it's another thing of you can't fire him after the Katrina year, because you're like, he's got two or three playoffs in him, and you know, maybe they switch it over to the Loman, and it's a butterfly effect. It's everything's we don't have anything that we have now, but we would have all these fun seasons in the past.
I guess so, but like Haslett wasn't like Ditka. I mean, Haslett had his faults, but he also, you know, was competent at times. But Haslett let, like, talking to a lot of guys that played under him, they all liked him, but he was always looking for the next shiny toy, whereas Ditka just didn't know how to even use a toy. You know what I mean? Like Haslett would have – he would have messed it up. Chemistry wouldn't have – everything plays out differently. Now, again, you don't get the timeline you're on right now, but Haslett, long term, it wouldn't have worked.
The thing that doomed Haslett was the Saints fired Randy Mueller, and Jim Haslett, even though Mickey Loomis became GM, Jim Haslett got all the personnel power, because Loomis at that time was a cap guy, and he's still the cap guy, right? And he's sort of, Sean Payton gets a lot of, you don't even know who has the say with the Saints, right? But we know, like, Sean Payton decides on the roster, Sean Payton decides on the draft picks and that sort of thing. Haslett got all that power, and he just wasn't very good at it. I think Haslett would have been different if Randy Mueller had. Haslett was a coach. He needed a strong general manager to tell him no on linebackers and different free agents and stuff. And that's something else on a what if too.
No doubt. Once he starts getting control of personnel in 02, it changes everything. And you know, even though he had a winning record in 02, man, if you go 12-4, you know, he gets even more power moving forward.
Oh,
so
completely.
I don't know, man. It's a fun what if game.
And it is. It's been amazing.
Currently, I think he's a Titans positional coach or something. I try like crazy to get him on to share some stories from 2000, but didn't happen. I talked to a lot of players, but Jim wanted to pass on it.
I'm happy we did this podcast, because we got to talk about Chad Kota and Sean Dawkins. And that's what I love to do.
Wilmot Perry, man. If you could rock a 33 Wilmot Perry Saints jersey, would you do it?
I totally would. I'm going to get after I record this and upload it, I'm going to get on eBay and try to get myself a signed Wilmot Perry jersey.
Absolutely, dude. The final question for you, Ralph, because you can't go like Sammy Knight or because that's just easy and a lot of people have his jersey. So you got to be thinking random. If you could have one jersey from the Saints 98 roster, who would it be?
Man, maybe Tyrone Drakeford, because he was just a mess at corner, but he made some plays for the 98 team. Like he had a touchdown that helped them win a game. I don't think I'd go Billy Joe. You know who I would go? You know who I'd go? I'd go Cam Cleland. I'd go 85.
85. See, Cleland was good enough, you know, that folk. I might have to roll with a Ray Zellers, you know.
Eric Gulliford.
34 Zellers jersey. I think Zellers, I think that would be, you know.
Brett Best.
Gerard Carey, I got to give some consideration to. But I think I'd roll with a Ray Zellers. That's where I'd go with it.
I can get to Troy Davis, number 28 jersey.
Oh, God, how bad was Troy Davis? He might be the worst running back in Saints history. And I don't mean that in a mean way. But
I was so pumped when they signed him. I mean, when they drafted him. Because he was a beast in college. But he made up for being small with being slow. And he was a classic Ditka guy, classic try hard guy.
You could talk. Why would we talk ourselves into it? Look what they did in college. I mean, like, you could always do that with these Ditka guys, and they were just, I mean, if a cleat fell off a defender, it would tackle Troy Davis. That guy couldn't break any tackles. There was one game they wanted him to score a touchdown so bad, and they just gave it to him three straight times at the goal line. And I think he just kept moving backwards.
2.6 yards a carry.
Hey, man. Hey, well, that's 2.6 more than you and I guess.
Barely. John Farquhar, like, I love that. I love this idea. I'm gonna get on eBay and try to get a bunch of Saints 98 jerseys, and I'm gonna give them to people who sign up for Discord. And I might just, if people who sign up for the Booze Box, Scott, if I can get a bunch of these random 98 jerseys, I'll just stuff it in the box. And you'll get your booze bundle, and you'll be like, oh, wow, I got an Eric Gulliver jersey, too. Congrats, you win a prize.
An ink Aliaga jersey? I mean, now we're talking.
Number 54,
Aliaga on the back.
Hey, an ink Aliaga jersey, the chance to get that is worth $10 a month, people. You sign up. But, guys, this has been a Drunk Saints History episode. This one is one of my favorites. It's been completely ridiculous. Scott, thanks for joining us, guys. Scott, 14:20 a.m. in Lafayette. He is so good. He is working so hard at the station. He does a great show, and that's why I have him on. He's an old friend of mine. But support him. Find him on Twitter. Listen to 14:20. You can get it online if you're not in Lafayette area. You know how to do all that. Scott, tell the people how they can find you if they want to listen.
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Scott_1420. We got an app. We got a lot of stuff on demand. Plenty of ways to find me there. But I appreciate it, man. I always have fun doing this. And I'm not even lying. There was a minute there I forgot we were recording. It's like, because sometimes we text and just start talking Saints. And we just started going down that rabbit hole from one to the other. I forgot we were recording. So that's right. Saints Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah. All right, guys. So Drunk British Lady, take us out.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints History possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers. Hunt for muddy puddles and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.